Amen. Let's pray, and then we're going to jump into the Word this morning. Father, we love you. Thank you for this opportunity. We ask you now, Father, that through this time, Father, that we move into the Word. Lord, that the power of your Spirit, Lord, would just be there in an awesome way. You will anoint, Father, because that's what it takes. Without the anointing, Lord, we just go through the motions. It's just another act of religion. But Father, whenever your anointing is present, oh God, you can touch lives and souls, Lord God. You can minister, Lord God, where no man has the privilege to minister, Lord, into the very heart of a human being. So Father, this morning we pray for the anointing, Lord, that you would open us up to receive that you have for us. Lord, that your anointing, Father, is the only thing that breaks the yoke. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. Well, folks, let me just ask you, just because we kind of all need to be on the same page this morning, how many of you have ever experienced a people problem? All but three of you. Man, I need to talk to those three. Yeah. Those of you that are parents, you've experienced little people problems, of course. But people problems are all over the place. And certainly as the population of the world increases, because I think we've now gone, over 7 billion people worldwide. And, it's really mind-boggling for me to get a hold of that, because I grew up in a very small town, about 1,300 people. And so 7 billion just kind of amazes me. That just kind of amazes me. But nevertheless, you get more and more people on the globe. The one thing that I've found out is that you just get more and more people problems. Amen? And it really doesn't make any difference where you are geographically on the globe, whether you're here in the United States or whether you're, in Australia or Africa, or if you're in the United Kingdoms. I believe that for the most part, people problems are pretty common. Amen? In other words, I don't think that they have any more different problems over in Australia or England than we do here in the United States. I do, however, believe, by just looking at the Word of God, that there is one people problem that exists that is kind of that thread that ties all humanity together. In other words, everybody on the globe, everybody on the face of this globe experiences the same problem. And that problem is we need water. If any of you are experiencing allergies for, the season that we're in, my car has turned from red to yellow. And whenever you take those antihistamines, you know what they do? Oh, water. I think sometimes a lot of us take water for granted, at least until we find ourselves in a place of thirst. Amen? We take water for granted. One of the things, whenever I moved here to North Carolina from Montana, because for the past 7 years in Montana, we had experienced some of the world's best water, literally. The community we lived in tapped a natural spring that just millions of gallons of water every day came out of the ground, and they just kind of gathered it up and shipped it down to the town. And, oh, the water was so wonderful. And so whenever we bought our house here, one of the things my wife said, we got to check the water. Got to make sure we got good water, because good water is important, amen? If you don't believe that, just move to Post, Texas. Post. Got a Dairy Queen kind of at the convergence of all the highways that... No, Post would be all of the roads that run through Post. There's a Dairy Queen right there, and one time we stopped at the Dairy Queen to eat lunch. Me and my family piled out, went in, or perhaps it was a McDonald's. Nevertheless, it was one of those fast food restaurants, and they had kind of the self-fill-your-glass-up kind of thing with pop, and one of our children went, and instead of pop, they filled it up with water, and they came back, and they said, Dad, their water is yellow. It was. I'm thankful for good water, amen? But again, I think some of us take water for granted until we finally get thirsty. We don't usually think a lot about water because, we can turn on the tap and we can have fresh water coming out, but it's not that way in all the world. How many of y'all know that? Amen? But I think as human beings, we got to understand that or realize how important water is. And one of the only ways to really, really come to grips with how important water actually is whenever you get thirsty. Whenever you get real thirsty and you don't have water available to you, that's whenever you realize the real importance of water. Because see, whenever you're really, really thirsty and you don't have any way to quench that thirst, one of the things you begin to understand is all you can think about is water. I'm thirsty and there ain't no water. I need some water. Your whole body begins to crave water. Every thought that you have is thinking about water, and your body literally begins to ache for water. Whenever one thinks about a desert. Now, I grew up in New Mexico, and a lot of people equate New Mexico with a desert, and certainly we have a desert there. But I want to tell you something. They got deserts that put New Mexico to shame. They got deserts where it's just sand dune after sand dune after sand dune. You cannot find water anywhere. Folks, if you just begin to imagine yourself in the middle of that desert where there's water nowhere in sight, you can understand how your brain would begin to ache for that water. But whenever rain comes to the desert, it was always an amazing thing in New Mexico whenever rain came to the desert. I was leaving the church not too long ago, and it was pouring rain outside. And somebody said, man, you better get your umbrella before you go out, Pastor. You're going to get wet. See, I grew up in New Mexico where if you ever did get a chance to go outside while it was raining, you didn't carry an umbrella. You went out and just got wet. In fact, you went out sometimes and washed your car in the rain. It was awesome. And here people actually cover themselves up so as to not get wet. See, water in New Mexico was more precious than it is here because my folks, every once in a while, I talked to them on the phone. They said, oh, it rained a tenth of an inch last night. And I said, well, it rained 10 inches here last night. And all I hear is just them hanging up on me. Whenever rain comes to the desert, though, it's amazing what it does. It literally begins to make the desert a garden of life. There's this life that begins to spring up everywhere. Jesus tells us about thirst, and he talks about deserts, and he talks about how people need to drink. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is really the only one that can satisfy our thirst. And whenever you begin to think, well, Jesus can satisfy our thirst, it has nothing to do with the physical water that's in this bottle. Neither does it have anything to do with the physical thirst that a human being would feel. So with that said, open your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. It'd probably be advantageous for me to go there as well. John chapter 4. A pretty lengthy portion of Scripture here. But nevertheless, we're going to read a lot of it. John chapter 4, and let's move all the way to verse number 5. It says, so he came to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. And Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is to says, that say, who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank for him himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I may not thirst nor come here to draw. Jesus said to her, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, you have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband, in that you spoke truly. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. For salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to Him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When He comes, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am He. Now, with that passage of Scripture, there's a couple of things I think that we got to look at this morning. Because this is kind of the ultimate Scripture whenever it comes to the Bible telling us about living water. Amen? This is about where Jesus meets with this Samaritan woman and introduces her to something that is much more valuable than this water that I have in the bottle. It is a water that goes past the ability to quench a thirst that exists in humanity physically. It goes to the place where humanity can have their thirst quenched spiritually. Amen? Now, here is this woman at the well. Jesus is tired, He's thirsty, and so He asks her for a drink. Now, a little bit prior to that, you have to understand that Jesus doesn't waste any motion. Amen? He doesn't just go through the motions like oftentimes we do. Jesus very specifically had Himself at this place at this time because He knew there was going to be a providential meeting there. In fact, just a few verses earlier, Jesus says, I need to go through Samaria because His Father had set up this appointment with this woman. Amen? The disciples, they're all gone. They're in the city. They're at Burger King drive-up window. I think back then it might have been ride-up window because they were probably on their donkeys. They were ordering a couple of Whoppers and orders of fries and some tall Dr. Pepper. And Jesus is left behind at the well and He has this encounter. Like I said, He's thirsty, He's tired from the journey, and He asks this woman for a drink. Now, just to kind of stage the story, she's a little bit shocked that Jesus would ask her for a drink. I mean, she's kind of taken aback by this. She being a Samaritan and Jesus being a Jew. Because, see, it was like really, really weird that Jesus would have ever even wanted to go through Samaria. He's standing literally at the border of Samaria and He says, I got to go through Samaria. But the odd thing about that is, see, a Jew other than Jesus would have not went through Samaria. They would have actually went around it. Because there was huge hatred in between the Jews and the Samaritans. So I got to tell you something. This little procession as Jesus led His disciples into Samaria, you know the disciples had to be scratching their heads. Because this was just really a weird thing to do. So now Jesus at the well, the woman is taken back by Jesus saying, give me a drink, because she's a Samaritan, He's a Jew, a lot of animosity in between the two races. You see, Jews did not fraternize in any way with Samaritans. They thought Samaritans were like dogs. Seriously. They thought they were a subgroup of humanity. That's what Jews thought they were. Ladies, hang on to this one. Jews actually thought that Samaritan women were actually a lower class than Samaritan men. So if Samaritan men were just dogs and they didn't fraternize with them at all, Samaritan women were even on a lower position than that. But Jesus, you remember, He didn't waste any motion. He's there and He's there for a reason. Amen? The reason Jesus is there, because He's looking for an opportunity to talk to this woman about living water. Living water. He's also looking probably for an opportunity to talk to this woman about perhaps the sin that she's living in. But He's got this living water that He promises will satisfy her thirst. And if you've ever really been thirsty, I mean, here in America, it's hard to preach to a group like this and wonder if there's anybody in this group whatsoever that has ever been thirsty. Because we have the convenience of water everywhere. It's just everywhere. The only time in my life I can remember about being thirsty is that whenever I was in high school, I worked for a guy, and we used to go out into a lava flow and load lava rocks in a semi-truck and take them down to the railroad yard and dump them in the railroad yard and send them off so people could build fireplaces and whatnot with them. But every morning before we left and went to the Malpies, is what we called them. I don't know why, but that's what we called them. But we went to this lava flow, we would load up this big cooler with water, put ice in it, and you know, 5-gallon cooler, and then we'd tie it in the back of the pickup, and then we'd launch out to this place. It was about a 25-mile drive, and I just so happened that day to be driving the pickup. You have to know, before I go any further, that the boss I had, he was a mean boss. I mean, seriously, he's mean. He wasn't with us, but he sent us here. I was about 15, 16 years old. I was driving the company work truck, which, by the way, a few years before that had the tailgate torn off by some freak accident. And that particular day, the guy that was in charge of the water cooler, he didn't tie it in the back of the truck. So somewhere along the 15 miles of dirt as we were going out there, because I was driving like a maniac, I lost the water cooler, I lost the water, I lost the ice, I lost it all. We knew whenever we got out there, our boss would have killed us if we would have come back to town for water. And so we stayed out there till about 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the New Mexico hot sun without any water. And we loaded lava rocks. And I got to be honest with you, by the time I got back to town, I was thirsty. But I don't think I was really thirsty. Like, really thirsty. I was thirsty. I wanted something to drink. I mean, my mind, I'm just thinking, man, whenever I get to town, this is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to go. This is how I'm going to get water in my mouth. The whole drive there, I was kicking myself. I was kicking the guy that was supposed to tie that thing in the back of the truck, too. I'm thinking, man, I got to have some water. But see, I don't think I really experienced thirst oftentimes like our spiritual life experiences thirst. I had a physical thirst, but Jesus Christ says, listen, I've come that you can have some water where your spiritual life will never ever thirst again. It'll satisfy not the physical thirst, not the perceived thirst that we have, but it'll satisfy a real thirst in us. Now, if I would have been here in the middle of this encounter, I got to be honest with you. If I was sitting on a rock on the other side of Jacob's well looking at this whole conversation as it took place, and Jesus offered her water, one of the very first things that would have began to encroach into my thought process would be Jesus is offering her some kind of physical water. Because he said, hey, I've got some water that if you drink of it, you'll never drink again. I'm thinking, man, I could sell that on eBay. Come on now. If you could advertise that on eBay, water that you drink and never have to drink. I'm thinking, man, that is a great shot for an entrepreneur to make $1 million or a billion. I think like most people, I would have assumed that he meant water from this world. And folks, I got to be honest with you. I think this woman, by her whole demeanor and the conversation that took place, I think she would have been very happy to have had that water. Because you see, every day she had to go to the well and she had to draw well water up out of that well and fill her water pots and then carry them a long ways back up to the city. And I got to be honest with you, that's more work than turning on your faucet. And so whenever she hears this, man, I don't have to do this work anymore. See, she could go and catch up on all the missed episodes of As Your World Turns and General Hospital instead of having to go out and... I don't think they had General Hospital back then, but I know As the World Turns is at least that old. Thanks for catching that because I misspoke. No, she could do other things besides go to the well every day and draw water from the well. I think just like a lot of people, I would have misunderstood and I would have thought, man, he's given her some water where she doesn't have to go anymore. She was only thinking about the physical thirst while Jesus is trying to introduce her to a spiritual thirst. See, the problem with the world today, the people problems that are all over the place. I'm telling you, it's because people have thirsty spirits. And we as human beings, sometimes whenever I read the Old Testament and I look at the people of Israel, you know, God calls his people sheep. And I look at Israel, and you know, Israel, one of the things that you could predict about Israel is they made the same mistake over and over and over again. I just wanted to go back in time and say, Israel, why don't you smarten up? You guys are nutheads. Whenever I was in high school, I used to work with sheep, and one of the dumbest animals in the whole world is a sheep. They're dumb. Some of y'all, Mama could not be dumb. She's a nice sheep. Mama was stupid. All sheep are stupid. They don't have, first of all, sheep don't even have to have a reason to die. They just can go lay down and die at will. Seen that happen. Moving sheep around corrals and things, having to manage them inside the corral. You'd have a corral completely packed full of sheep, and you would go open this gigantic gate, 8 foot wide, for the sheep to come out, and not one sheep would come out. They'd just stand there saying, hey, I think that gate's probably still there. Even though the gate's wide open and you want them to move down this alleyway, and finally you go there and you grab one by the wool and you're trying to pull them across that imaginary line that's called the gate. And they're like, I'm not going. I know that gate's there. You go, stupid sheep, and you're trying to drag them out from there. And finally one gets so scared that you're going to do something violent to them that they say, I've got to go or he's going to kill me. And instead of just running like a normal sheep, they jump. Like they're jumping over the gate that's not there. They just jump, and all of a sudden you see this sheep go poof, over your head, and you go, why'd you jump? There's nothing there. And then another one goes, oh, Wally did it. I think I can jump that gate too. And so another one jumps over the gate, and another one, and another one, and pretty soon the whole corral is empty, and they've all jumped over an imaginary gate. I just go, sheep are stupid. And then I get saved and I start reading the Bible and God calls me a sheep. And I say, God, I am not that stupid. I've never jumped an imaginary gate in my life. Now some of y'all looking and saying, yeah, but people aren't like that. Folks, I have to tell you that humanity oftentimes amazes me at the ignorance that's inside of us. And please understand, I said humanity, and I'm talking about my own self here. You see, the problem with humanity is they have thirsty spirits. Now this woman, during her discourse with Jesus, she all of a sudden had her eyes open to who he was. She starts talking about this living water and the Messiah, and she begins to put it together. And you know, the amazing thing about it, once she realizes who Jesus is, this is the cool part about this. Once she realizes who Jesus is, he's the Messiah, she gladly takes a hold of this living water. She gladly drinks of it. You know, this woman is confronted by Jesus. And I'm just going to spend just a moment here. But one of the things during the conversation between her and Jesus was about her husband. You know, go and get your husband. And she says, you know, I don't have a husband. And Jesus says, you know, rightly said, you know, you've had a whole string of them. And you see, one of the things that I pick up real quickly on by reading that is this woman was trying to quench a thirst on the inside of her. This spiritual thirst, this thirsty spirit on the inside of her. She was trying to quench that thirst with men. She had had one man after another man after another man after another man. I'm going to tell you something, ladies. A man is not going to quench that thirst that's on the inside of you. And the same with guys. There's sometimes guys say, oh man, if I just had a wife, that would complete me. I want to tell you something. A wife does not complete you. A wife depletes you. I'm just talking about financially. Listen, you guys know I'm telling the truth. So don't go into it saying, oh, my wife is going to complete me. It doesn't happen that way. Let me tell you something. If you're not completed by Jesus Christ, there is nothing on the face of this globe that is ever going to complete you. Nothing. There's no human being. There's no drug. There's nothing that you can get involved with that is ever going to bring completion to your soul. It's not going to happen. But this woman, she had tried over and over and over again to bring that right man into her life so that she could experience this spiritual place that she needed to be. And I'm telling you, there was no man to be found that was going to bring that into her life. You see, oftentimes what happens when we try to quench the spiritual thirst on the inside of us with all kinds of other things, and understand, it doesn't necessarily have to be a human. There are people out there today that are looking at the bottom of a bottle, and they've tried their best all of their lives to quench this thirst with alcohol or drugs, and the list goes on and on and on. Because that's what humanity is. They're like a bunch of sheep. They just over and over and over try the wrong things. And God is saying, no, there's only one thing. It's the living water that is supplied by God Himself that is going to bring that quench to your spirit. You know, one of the indicators, I think, with humanity, that we got a lot of people problems. And I said, I think the greatest problem we have is we got a lot of thirsty spirits out there. But you know, oftentimes whenever you go to the doctor, they don't immediately know what's wrong with you. They start asking you about your symptoms, don't they? They start saying, well, tell me about what's been going on. And you go, well, my head is stopped up. I've sneezed and my eyes feel like they're itching out of my head. And all of a sudden, through them symptoms, they can grasp at what's happening. You have a wool blanket on your head. And so... No, I'm just kidding. They can, by understanding those symptoms, diagnose the problem. And understand this. A lot of times, whenever we see the symptoms in humanity, we can oftentimes diagnose the problem. One of the greatest symptoms that humanity has today is, do you realize how little joy our world has? I mean, honestly, when was the last time you were around somebody that just had a lot of joy? I agree, Dalton. Dalton's always got a lot of joy. But he doesn't have a car payment yet and a house payment. He's still living in a socialistic environment because his parents pay for everything. Seriously. I mean, joy sometimes is just sucked out of us. And I got to tell you something. That's probably one of the things that was with this woman's life. I have an idea that whenever she went to the well every morning, she wasn't singing zippity-doo-dah, zippity-yay. She was probably thinking about her life and the tragedies that had been piling up in her life. Because indeed, she had had all of these husbands. And I have an idea that there were a couple of kids, maybe stepkids, grandkids. There was all kinds of calamity in her life. And I don't believe that she was a woman who had a lot of joy. But once she realizes who she's talking to, she begins to be someone who gladly partakes of the living water. Once she learns who she's talking to, she says, I want some of that water. And now here's the great thing about it. She gets a dose of this living water because Jesus gave it to her. I believe that there was a conversion moment right here. I believe that she believed on Jesus Christ. She said, you're the Messiah. And I believe because of that exchange between her and Jesus, I believe that she walked away from that well. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think she walked. I actually think she skipped. She may have even run, because the Bible tells us that she left her water jars there at the well, man, which I want to tell you, somebody in her right mind would have never done that. And she leaves and goes back to the city that she came from, and she goes around the city. She said, whoa, hey guys, you have got to come and meet the guy that I met down at the well. I'm telling you, this guy is awesome, man. I went down there, he gave me living water. You see, this woman came to the well, no joy. This woman left the well and she's full of joy.
She rounds up all of these people to come and listen to Jesus.
Now, history tells us, not the Bible, but history tells us that this woman right here was responsible for a revival that took place in Samaria. A revival that became so big that literally the disciples who then became apostles had to get a couple of apostles and send them to Samaria because the revival got so big. And it all started with this lady who Jesus met at the well of Jacob. She said, I want some of that living water. I want some of that living water. She got it, and then she went and she told all the people to come and get a drink of this living water. You see, that's what happens whenever people understand the problem with humanity is that their thirsty spirit is what's been driving them to reach out and to grab for all of these things that never satisfy the spirit. But once they get a hold of the living water, they'll leave their water jar and they'll go to the town and they'll say to the people, I have found the source of some good water. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 3, this is what it says. It says, for I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on dry grounds. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. In Isaiah 55, verse 1, it says, ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the water. Here's an invitation that's been given by the God of heaven and earth. He's saying, guys, come and get yourself a drink. Come and get yourself a drink. In fact, Isaiah 55 goes on a little bit further and it says, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is a prophetic scripture that's written about Israel. But folks, I got to tell you something. A lot of times we believe that we got to jump through all kinds of spiritual hoops. We got to be involved with the church. We got to be a member of a church. I'm telling you, there is nothing like that. God extends this living water to every individual on the planet called Earth. And he says, it is free. And anybody that wants a drink, he says, you can come and drink. And not only can you come and drink, but you can come and drink as much as you want. I know there are people in here that enjoy an all-you-can-eat buffet. Yeah? That's what Jesus says. He says, come and just drink all you can drink until your soul is satisfied. You see, I look at this woman at the well, and knowing what I know about her, knowing what I know that history says about her, I'm going to tell you something. She got herself full of living water. She got herself full of living water. You see, dryness created thirst, and that thirst created desire. That woman had come to a place in her life where she desired the living water. I believe that there are many times in the Old Testament where God literally created dry times to begin to allow Israel's spiritual dryness to provoke them. I mean, physical dryness to provoke them to have spiritual dryness. There were times whenever God said, it's not going to rain anymore here on this place. It's going to be a famine. And oftentimes, whenever God did that, he provoked that physical dryness. And through that, God led them to a spiritual dryness. They came to a place where they said, hey, it's not about our plants not growing. It's about something going on inside of us. And then they began to cry out to God, say, God, we're not crying out for you to send rains on the land. We're crying out for you, to God, to send rains into my heart. Because I'm tired of living without you. I'm tired of going through my daily activities without you. See, our craving for water can be much greater than our craving for food. You can go a lot longer without food than you can water. I mean, there's been times where I've went like almost an hour without food.
But to neglect God for even a very short period of time, it will create a thirsty soul. And you see, what I've gone from is I've gone from this woman at the well and this encounter with her, because basically that was a salvation encounter. You know, Jesus told her, said, yeah, the Jews have got the way, but it's opened up now through me. Now it can go to all people, Samaritans to the uttermost parts of the earth. That's what Jesus himself said. We've gone to that, to a place where I believe God is speaking to the church. Because how many of y'all know that you can be right smack dab in the middle of church and still have a dry and thirsty soul? See, oftentimes a dry and thirsty soul you remember I talked about symptoms a lot of times that lead us to really the root cause of the sickness or the ailment. Folks, let me just ask you a couple of questions personally. Don't answer these out loud, but I'm just asking if there's any symptoms that would lead to a greater problem that's maybe within some of us here in this church. When was, or let's do it like this. If you look back on this last week, April the so-and-so till today, I don't even know where you would start, but this whole last week, if you had a pen and paper and you could write down how many minutes that you spent each day in Bible study in one column, and then each amount of minutes in prayer in another column, and you did that for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then you totaled them up down at the bottom. You know, you said, it's 4, 5, 7, 7, 4, 7 carrier, 3, and then you did it in the other column. What would be the cumulative total of time that you spent in Bible study? What would be the cumulative total that you spent in prayer? You see, because if those numbers are low, those are symptoms that you probably have a dry spirit. I'm going to tell you somebody that's living in the midst of the water that comes from the throne of God, I want to tell you what they're doing. They're splashing around in that water, full of joy. And their Bible study time and their prayer time is off the charts. Because you see, that's fellowship with God. And they just can't wait to get into the Word. They can't wait to get alone with God. And another symptom is, and this is one of those that's really tough, but it's yet a very accurate indicator. Because like whenever the worship team comes to the platform and they start to play and the song starts to be sung, we have a choice to make as individuals. Are we just going to go through the motions of worship, or are we really going to worship God? Now, can I just share something with you if you promise not to tell anybody else? There have been lots of services where I have just gone through the motions. Just gone through the motions. I said, oh, come on, Jared, not another song. Can it, would you? I mean, if you're just going through the motions, you don't want him to sing 5 songs. Just cut it off at 4. Come on, some of y'all are out there. I cannot believe he's our pastor, for heaven's sake. But y'all understand what I'm saying? See, that is a direct indicator that there's something amiss in your spirit. Because I want to tell you something. Whenever worship comes to an end for somebody who is got that living water inside of them, that water that quenches that spiritual thirst, that dynamic that Jesus Christ puts in you. Whenever worship comes to an end, you're looking at Jared going, what? Only 9 songs? Come on, man, play that piano. You don't want to quit worshiping. In fact, you don't quit worshiping. You're sitting there on the pew under your breath singing a song while Pastor Rick is telling you all the boring announcements. You get in your car, instead of turning on to some crazy show on the radio or some crazy music, man, you're just doing worship all by yourself. Oh, it's so interesting, too, whenever you're doing worship all by yourself, and man, you're just going through, oh, this is Jesus, this Jesus, that singing, and all of a sudden you look across, and there's somebody at the stoplight park next to you, and they're looking at you like, what kind of drug have you been taking? And you just wave at them. And then even if the light's red, you just go. Yeah. See, now, you know, I'm being lighthearted, but these are indicators. These are things that in the church of Jesus Christ, it shouldn't exist. Because Jesus says, hey, he says, man, this living water is for anybody that wants it. And if you come and drink, man, I'm telling you, you should never thirst again. In John chapter 6, no, I'm not going to read that. I'm going to skip it. Sorry. Got to skip that too. Got to skip that. Boy, you're lucky. I'm skipping it all. In John chapter 7, verse number 37. This is what Jesus says, and I got to move through this quickly because we're going to do some cool things before we dismiss. John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Okay, I got to read that again because it's just so good. On the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This was the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles that Jesus did this. Man, there's thousands of people that have descended upon Jerusalem, and they're celebrating this time where Israel had lived in the desert. And now traditionally, this is what took place at this feast. On the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, water from the Pool of Siloam was offered up as part of the closing ceremonies. It was literally taken from this pool and poured out. And it's here and likely at this moment that Jesus stood and made the offer. Right as this water was to be poured out, Jesus stands up, he gains the attention of the whole crowd, and he says, hey, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Jesus stood and he makes this offer to satisfy a thirsty world with living water. Even water better than that was drawn from the Pool of Siloam. The waters from Siloam were the waters people bathed in for healing. These waters for many, many years have been waters that were thought to have special properties. But Jesus offered them even a better water. See, today I got some water here that's called Crystal Geyser. Alpine spring water. Bottled in Miami, Florida. Right from the Alpine. Now they say, I don't believe I've ever even drank any, but they say that Perrier is like the ultimate water out there. I don't know. But I'm thinking that it might be better than this Alpine water from Miami. There's all kinds of qualities whenever it comes to water. Really is. This kind of tastes bodily. I like the water that comes out of my tap in the kitchen. It's really good. All kinds of different qualities as it comes to water. And I got to tell you something. As far as what the world has to offer us, because really they're offering us something to quench our thirst. There's all kinds of things out there today that are offering to quench our thirst. It's amazing as my life has progressed and I see things, these little nuances that exist within the society that you and I live in. One of the things now that young people are going after, and I really believe that one of the reasons they're going after this is because this is a way or a method for them to actually get a thirst quenched that honestly is that thirst that I started out with. It's a people problem. It's a thirsty soul. But our kids today are going after these extreme things. Extreme things. I mean, man, you know, the most extreme thing that we could ever do whenever I was growing up was like get on a motorcycle that had more than like 500 cc's on it. That was like a huge extreme thing. We were just, you know, like awful, I mean, evil Knievel. And, you know, it was bad to be on a motorcycle that big. But now these kids are doing things that are insane. Insane. All of these extreme sports and, man, I know that there's a lot of them that are really good at these things, but I'm thinking how many people died so that those people could get good. The world's offering all different kinds of water, but Jesus is offering a water here as he stands and he pours literally the water out of the pool of Siloam and he says, listen, if you come to me, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. If anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And basically, the little tagline that he put on beside that scripture is this. He says, whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said. You see, because ultimately that's all it takes. It just takes a place, a person coming to a place where he says, listen, I believe Jesus is the way. I believe that he is the way to cause this thirst that I have inside of me to be quenched. I'm a very, very blessed person because you see, going on now 34 and a half years almost, I've been drinking of that living water. There's been times in that 34 and a half years where I've felt a little thirsty. I just came into the service and just went through the motions of worship. But I got to tell you, whenever I have called on the name of Jesus, and whenever I have said to Jesus, I believe you are who you say you are, who the scripture says you are, and I need some water for my thirsty spirit, he has always been faithful to deliver me a good long drink. See, basically what happened, and you know, we just last week celebrated Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. The death and the resurrection of Jesus. See, what happened is this. Through Jesus' death and his resurrection, literally the floodgates of heaven were opened up. And any of you have ever seen those humongous hydroelectric dams that whenever they begin to open up those gates and that water begins to spew out of there, you have no idea how much water and how strong that water is. That's what happened in heaven. That literally through the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, all humanity literally had the gates opened up in heaven and the floodwaters came forth onto this earth. And God is saying to humanity, he's saying, hey, all 7.5 billion of y'all, you can have a drink. In fact, not only can you have a drink, but you can drink and drink and drink and drink until you are satisfied. That's what he says. And so this morning, we're going to ask the deacons and Pastor Rick if you would come, and we're going to serve communion. Jared, if you'll come and help me close this. And you may be thinking, Pastor, this is a really kind of a weird way to close the service with communion. But now, let me just explain a little bit about communion. You see, these elements, this bread and this juice, it represents the broken body and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And you see, in that, we have the opportunity to drink from the fountain that God says has living water.